Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
You know that feeling of catching up with an old friend? That's what Gabrielle Union's new book of essays, You Got Anything Stronger, feels like. It's a continuation of a combo from her first book, We're Gonna Need More Wine. And this latest offering is a vulnerable and sometimes hilarious account of some of the major events that have shaped Union.
Well, we've progressed in our courtship. And this book is like us going away for the first weekend together. Because just as you think you know someone, it turns out you actually have no idea who a person really is until you've traveled with them.
And Gabrielle Union joins us now. And Gabrielle, this book really feels like the next progression of a friendship. That was your intention.
That was the goal. So much had happened since 2017 when We're Gonna Need More Wine was released. And there were so many chapters that we left out because I wasn't ready to talk about them in any sort of real or impactful way. I just really felt like now was a great time during the pandemic, with everyone feeling so isolated and, you know, honestly feeling like you were drowning in plain sight and people were walking past you, watching you drown and not throwing you a life preserver. I wanted to try to use this book and my experiences to throw out some life preservers at a time when we're all struggling.
Well, at the core of this book is realizing how much power there is in being vulnerable. I mean, this is remarkable for you because your MO, as you write for a long time, was the opposite of being vulnerable.
Absolutely. I looked at vulnerability as weakness. To be vulnerable is to open yourself up for attacks, to be vulnerable about your, you know, I'm using my finger quotes here, weaknesses, was to provide ammunition for the opposition. Like, why would you do that? It's counterproductive. Mm. And then Brené Brown.
Brené Brown.
I caught a TED Talk and it was like, whoa. And then it was reinforced with a shaman who was just like, what if your vulnerability is actually your superpower? Mm. And between the two, it just clicked.
Right. You actually say the more painfully honest you are, the more impactful you become. And boy, are you honest. People are going to have to read the book to understand this story I'm bringing up. But all I'm going to say is Ex-Lax Magic City Strip Club, Atlanta. What a story.
Yes. You know, when you share, you know, like the first chapter where it really goes much deeper into my surrogacy journey, my fertility journey, I'm not defined by that one thing, nor am I defined by perimenopause. I am made up of so many different attributes and experiences. And one of those experiences was mixing Ex-Lax and dark liquor and going to a strip club. And what kind of explosive consequences that led to? For me, it's important to share the totality of my being.
Because you're writing about these events that happen in your life, including those very traumatic events, but it's not from a, hey, this happened to me viewpoint. It's, here's how I've compartmentalized and made my way through these traumatic events, and here's what I learned about myself. I mean, you can't get more vulnerable than that.
Exactly. When you've made it through some darkness and you've come out on the other side and you've moved towards the light, to me, it is our responsibility to throw back the directions of how the hell you move through the darkness. If there's some part of my journey that can help someone move through darkness towards light, I'm actually a jerk if I don't offer it.
You know, this book reads less like a memoir and more like a time capsule of sorts, with you playing with form and voice, almost chapter by chapter. How did you come to decide that was the most powerful ways to write this book, various different essays versus a continual story looking at your life?
I felt there was another way, you know, as I travel around the world, I realize there's a lot of routes to solutions and to create impactful change or to have any kind of impact on someone's life. You got to reach people where they're at. And for me, each essay, each chapter represents an attempt at connection. And I didn't want them all to be the same because I wanted to try to reach as many different people where they were at as possible. So I'm glad you caught that. You're the first person to mention that. So I appreciate that you noticed.
Let's talk a little bit about some of the harder things. Your baby girl was born in 2018 through a surrogate. And you take us through that journey all the way down to what it was like to choose a surrogate. Where are you now on those feelings of failure that you write about for not being able to carry her?
Still there. There's just certain things that therapy can help you logically understand and emotionally understand, but the feelings remain. You know, it's those aches and pains that you get when, you know, you're hearing someone's birth story and you can't participate in the same way. And you see the look of, oh, she's a Hollywood girl and, you know, she farmed it out, when that obviously is like the furthest thing from the truth. It just hurts. Understanding it all doesn't always provide cover or comfort for reality.
You're married to NBA legend Dwayne Wade, and your stepdaughter Zaya is transgender. You write a lot about how sure she was in her identity and the ways that you grappled with the role that you would play in her journey. What did you discover about yourself in this role, specifically while writing this book? I was really taken by that chapter because it really shows that even when we feel like we know everything about a particular subject, you're always learning, and especially when they're young people in your lives.
The biggest lessons I learned is that just because you're a parent doesn't mean you have all the answers.
Right.
I don't know is a response that we should use more often, and let's figure it out together. It's okay to be led by your children, and it's okay if they're not little mini versions of you and they make different decisions than you would have made. I realize that certainly as Black parents, we feel like there's certain things we want our kids to do or be so they can be safe and have as many opportunities in this world, because we know how hard it is. And we want to try to make their journey through this life as easy as possible. So we push them to assimilate. We push them to be the same and don't stick out, to their detriment and ours. I also learned that there's all different ways of existing as a woman. There's all different kinds of ways of existing as a Black woman that doesn't have to center patriarchy and shape-shifting as a woman to appeal to a man. And that doesn't always have to be how we bond as women. It's just unlearning. More, you know, I'm unlearning just as much as I'm learning.
Learning, but also unlearning. That's an experience that a very specific experience for women in their mid-40s. I know this book is for everyone, but there are so many moments you write about and reflect on that are so specific to the Black experience for women who are in their mid-40s. It's a very specific sensibility that cuts right through. Maybe it's why for me it feels like an old friend coming back to have a real talk. Like the chapter on perimenopausal depression, was that a no-brainer for you to write that?
Well, it was the last thing I wrote. I had to turn in my book just a few days after I kind of came out of it. And when I started coming out of it, that's when I started jotting things down that I felt were important, because I knew that it could potentially save lives. I knew that it could spark conversations about hormonal imbalances and all the different ways that that can manifest in our bodies and our minds, because we don't talk about it at all. That was probably the harder chapter to write, just because I was, you know, in the thick of processing even what it all means. It's just such an enormous topic that I feared that I wasn't doing it justice. Maybe I'm not covering enough of it. But those statistics about women in that perimenopausal, menopausal age range being the number one group for suicides, I definitely feel that there is a correlation. And it's always just sort of chalked up to, they couldn't hack it in this next chapter of life. You know, marriages dissolve, children leave the nest, they start getting pushed out at work, you start training your replacement, the heads aren't turning in the same way that they used to, you're starting to feel invisible, and you just couldn't hack it. And it's like, no, that's not the whole thing, you know. And then when you realize that so many of the perimenopausal and menopausal symptoms that we talk about or treat, they're generally talked about in jokes,
Right. Hot flashes, that kind of thing.
Yeah. But it's like how those things impact the men in your lives. They rarely offer you a solution for you. It's let me get you this solution so you can be better for him.
In a way, it feels like with each book, you're fine-tuning yourself. It's like we're witnessing what truly working on yourself looks like. With that, do you plan to continue this conversation with a third book?
I don't know. I mean, this one was necessary because there was a lot I didn't cover from my first book. So I don't know. I have to go back out into the world and travel and listen and learn and evolve and see what else I may feel like is important enough to put pen to paper and to share it in this form. I don't know. I love writing, but most of my writing is just for myself. I'm that weirdo that still writes essays like I have a term paper to turn in and no one will read it but me.
Well, there's lots of life to live.
Yes. So yeah, we'll see. We'll see.
Gabrielle Union, award-winning actor and author of You Got Anything Stronger? Thank you so much for this conversation.
No, thank you. And thank you for all for listening. I appreciate this so much.